Superstition on the air.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This short story brings to you one of a series designed to show the origin of many of the more popular superstitions. Superstitions we often laugh about until something, possibly a coincidence or possibly some twist or quirk of fate, sets us to wondering if, after all, there might be some hidden unseen hand that controls our destinies. So that you will know how your pet superstition originated, when, why, and where, we have made accurate research and can assure you that the incidents portrayed in these sketches are merely the dramatization of the stories uncovered by that research. In every case, nothing has been added or subtracted, nor has anything been taken for granted. Though it has been deemed discreet to use fictitious names for our characters, every other detail of our story is true, and upon request can be substantiated. Our research has taken us to many lands over a period of greatly varied dates, and through these vivid playlets, we have made it possible for you to accompany us. This one brings you the origin of the superstition 3-on-1 match. Are you ready?
Waiter, coffee for three, please.
Yes, Mr. Calvert.
Have a cigar, Dean?
No, thank you. I think I'll stick to my cigarettes.
How about you, Herrick?
I believe I'll have one of Dean's cigarettes, if you don't mind.
Times certainly are hard when I can't even give my cigars away. Can I interest you in a light?
That I will take. Thanks.
Here you are, Herrick.
Thanks.
Why did you blow out the match?
I don't like 3-on-a-match.
Why, you're not superstitious.
Call it that, if you wish.
Well, that's a new one to me.
Me, too.
It may seem silly, gentlemen, but something happened a few years ago that sort of cured me of lighting 3-on-1 match. I've never done it since.
What was it?
It's rather a long story. It would probably bore you.
I'd like to hear it.
So would I. Come on, Herrick. Out with it.
It was away back in 1899. I was a lentenant in the British Army during the Boer War. Three of us, a Captain Frank Mattox, Lieutenant Shaw, and myself, were stationed down in South Africa, in a province of Natal. On this particular evening, we had just returned from a hunting trip. As you know, it's a great spot for game.
Yes, I've been there.
Then you know the layout. We were sitting in front of our tents, enjoying a smoke. A short distance away were our native carriers, a fine lot of Kaffirs and Zulus. They were grouped about another fire, quite similar to what they had built for us. The three of us were in high spirits, especially Captain Mattox. He was in love with a beautiful creature, a Boer girl named Grato. Her father had favored her marrying a young farmer, a chap named John Kruger. But Mattox had succeeded in capturing the lady's love and...
Nice, eh, what, Herrick?
Great. Don't you think so, Mattox?
Top hole, I say. But those tom-toms get on my nerves. I've been all over the world, but I've never found anything to quite equal these African nights. They're so different. The sky, the air, and the sounds from the veld.
If I had your hunting luck today, Shaw, I'd feel the same way.
Luck it was, nothing more. You fellows shoot as well as I do. In fact, better.
But still, you bagged all the game.
Only two panthers, a lion, and a few assorted small fellows.
Only?
And we landed one puny little wild beast between us.
You can't shoot game if you don't see them. Tomorrow's another day, eh, Shaw?
Yes, surely.
What were you dreaming about? Bagging a couple of elephants tomorrow?
No, I was just thinking about that old medicine man over there. He predicted that I would bring in the biggest bag today. Don't tell me that you believe in that old fraud Grumbo.
Well, he called it right today. What he predicted about Shaw happened.
That was a mere coincidence. Don't tell me you believe in him too, Herrick.
I hardly know what to believe. Sometimes I believe the Arabs are right when they contend that our futures are engraved on our foreheads.
All of that stuff is rubbish. Every man is the captain of his own destiny. He's the architect of his own fate.
Which one is Grumbo, Shaw?
The old black fellow with the fire. The one with the white rag tied around his head.
Let's get him to tell our fortunes. How about it, Mattox?
I know my fortune.
That's right. As soon as we whip the boars, you're going to marry Gretel and settle down in that little cottage in Sussex. How about it, Mattox?
That's the program. Well, let's get Grumbo over here anyhow. Just to see what he has to say.
Oh, why fool around with such ridiculous rot?
Oh, it'll kill a few minutes' time anyhow.
Go ahead then. But remember, I don't believe in a bit of the silly stuff.
Say you, Grumbo, come here.
Who wanna call?
Yes, Grumbo. I've told the captain of your skill in fire reading. He wants you to tell his fortune.
If captain wish me to tell future, I do. What I see, I tell. If it good, I happy. If it evil, Grumbo not to blame.
We understand, Grumbo. Go ahead.
Good. I make ready.
What's he doing?
That's how he always starts, making a circle in the sand with that spear.
What's all the mumbling about?
I don't know. Those three little fires he's making in the circle are supposed to represent us three.
I suppose those drums are to invoke the spirits.
Look at him picking up that fire in his bare hands. How does he do it?
That's his magic. That particular fire he's picked up represents you, Mattox.
Why does he drop it on the ground?
After it has gone out, he reads the ashes.
I see, old man.
Shh. He's starting to speak.
One Makuba, beware. Ashes tell great danger for English captain. Danger in three. Great peril for Buana. Ashes say doom in three.
Have him stop that silly rot.
Let him finish.
It's too ridiculous.
Doom in three. The ashes tell. I am done.
Thank goodness for that.
You may go now, Grumbo. Many thanks. I'm sorry, Mattox, old man. If I had known...
Oh, it's quite all right. I don't believe a word of it anyhow. I've quite forgotten it already.
What do you say we turn in?
You boys go ahead. I'll take a little walk and join you later.
You're not going over to the farm to see Gretel?
Certainly he is. Why do you suppose we camped here tonight? It's only a mile or so, isn't it?
That's about all.
Well, I'm going to turn in. Be careful, Mattox. You know the war is still on.
And don't forget, that Grumbo thing might mean something.
Oh, forget that nonsense. I say, what's that?
Where?
Over there, behind that tree.
It's a woman.
Why? It's Gretel.
Well, that saves him a trip. And besides...
Oh, cut the indelicacy, Shaw. Let's leave them alone. We'll be inside the other tent, Captain. Cheerio.
Oh, Frank. Frank, dear. Frank.
Gretel, darling, what's wrong? You're as white as a ghost.
Oh, darling, I'm all out of breath. I hurried so.
I was just coming over to see you.
Oh, that would have been terrible.
Why, dear?
Oh, Jean is in the neighborhood.
Well, what has that to do with me?
Everything.
Well, can I help it because your father promised him your hand in marriage?
Oh, he's furious.
Oh, well, let him be. All's fair in love and war, and we're in the thick of both. I've captured you, and I shall not give you up.
Oh, that's why I'm here. He came to our place after supper tonight, and...
And what, dear?
You know, he proposed to me again, and I tried to stop him. I was so afraid for your sake that he might find out that you were here, so near to me. And before I realized what I was saying, I told him about us.
What did he say?
Oh, he swore he would kill you. Frank, I'm so afraid. You will be careful, won't you, darling?
Certainly, my dear.
Oh, if anything happened to you, I'd die. If you love me, sweetheart, promise.
You know I love you, darling. More than anything else in the world. As soon as this silly war is over, we'll be married. And then it's double quick for you and me to England. We'll never be apart again.
I'm worried so about Jean. He keeps insisting that my father keep his promise.
But don't worry about that, sweetheart. Nothing in this world matters except that I love you and you love me.
I love you.
I love you.
Say it again.
I'll say it 1,000 times more. Then I'll keep saying it until the farthest star will hear me. Clear and distinct.
From now until the end of time.
And beyond.
And every day I shall pray for you. Every day until...
Until I come back and take you away with me forever and ever.
Darling.
Yes?
Oh, I'd better go now before Father misses me.
Well, I'll take you home.
Oh, no. Oh, no, don't do that. I have a Kaffir boy with me, and no one will bother me.
You mean someone might bother me?
I mean Jean. Oh, please, sweetheart, be careful. Promise me you'll not expose yourself to unnecessary danger.
I promise you anything, my love.
Stay in the shadow. Don't go near the fire. I just know something will happen if you do. Oh, promise me. Promise me you won't.
Oh, I promise it. If it will make you happy.
Oh, goodbye, darling.
Goodbye for the last time. Next time, No more goodbyes.
Is it all right for us to come out?
Why, certainly.
Did you tell her anything about what Grimble said?
Of course not.
No use alarming her.
Listen, sounds like someone in the brush.
Imagination, Herrick, that's all.
Don't you hear someone, Frank?
Not a thing. Come on, let's turn in. Oh, look, shooting stars. One, two, three. If you please, three.
Three? I say, Eric, isn't that...
Yes, Dick. You're thinking of Grumble, the medicine man.
Now, see here, both of you. I'm sick and tired of being ragged because a miserable old Kaffir raves over some silly ashes. Forgive me, boys. We're all under a bit of attention sitting here in this darkness.
But it was odd, Mattox, about those three stars. If I were you, I'd keep away from anything connected with three.
Oh, forget it, Shaw.
It's getting late.
Let's have one smoke and then we'll go to bed. Here's a light, Herrick.
Thanks.
Got it? Now you, Shaw.
Thanks.
And now, to show you fellows what I think of your old Grumbo's warning, I, Captain Frank Mattox of the Royal Fusiliers, take a third light from one match and challenge the power of three.
Oh, what's that?
For God's sake, Herrick. Look, Mattox is shot through the head.
Good God, he's dead. Why didn't he listen to Grumble?
Yes, he warned him to beware of three.
So that's how the three-on-one match superstition started.
Yes, with that terrible tragedy.
But if Mattox had been the first on that match, he would have been killed just the same, wouldn't he? All John was waiting for was enough light to see which was the man he was after.
I guess so.
You mean you know so?
Yes.
Well, then, there's really nothing to that superstition.
Maybe you're right.
Oh, you know I'm right, don't you? Come on, don't you?
Yes, you are right. It is silly.
Give me a light, will you, old man?
There you are. Hand me a cigarette. Want one, Herrick?
Thanks.
Have a light?
Wait a minute. Not three on a match.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have just heard the first of a series of playlets on the origin of superstition. We again wish to remind you that these sketches are based upon absolute truth uncovered by our research. All that we have done is to dramatize them. You have just listened to the popular superstition, Three on One Match. Our next playlet will tell you the story of the origin of the superstition, throwing salt over the shoulder. Until then, au revoir.